I invite you to find your Bible and open your Bible to Ephesians 5, and verses 8 through 14 will be our passage this morning that we'll be focusing on. And it's good to keep those Bibles open through the sermon so you can be following along as I go. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Quick prayer here for God's help. Let's pray. Our Father, now as we focus our attention on your word here in Ephesians chapter 5, we pray for your help. Lord, may you send your Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts so we may understand your word. Father, help us to know the truth and apply the truth to our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Years ago, when I served as a youth minister in Des Moines, Iowa, we would bring a group of students every other summer to the small town of Annville, Kentucky, to lead a VBS program for the kids there. And one of the fun things that we would do as a group while we were there that week would be to explore some of the caves that were in that county of Kentucky. The cave that we would normally go to was not one of those touristy type caves that you had, you know, to pay in order to get a tour of and have this tour guide, you know, lead you through this cave. No, Jackson County, Kentucky was not a vacation destination. There were no tourists there at all. Rather, the cave was about a mile off of a paved road, and you had to park your van along the side of a mostly dirt road, and then you had to walk on a rough, uncleared path through tree branches and weeds until you found this opening in the side of a hill. Thankfully, the first time that I went, a good friend of mine was with us who had been there before, and so I felt a little safer. Otherwise, there's no way I would have gone inside that cave, not to mention lead a bunch of high school students that I was responsible for into that cave as well. So we went in the cave, and we all had flashlights, and we needed them, for it was pretty rough getting around in there. There were loose rocks, there were tree roots, there was water, there was mud, and they all proved to be challenges to overcome as you made your way through this cave. Some of the passageways were quite narrow. Some you had to crawl through, which was especially difficult for someone of my size, and I was especially then grateful to have my flashlight with me, and also the light from everyone else's flashlights around me as well. I mean, with each of us, with our flashlights turned on, it almost seemed like we weren't in a cave, but just in someone's basement. We could see so well. But then we got to the deepest part of the cave, and it was the end of our underground trek there. And my friend, our guide, told us all to find a place to sit and then to shut off our flashlights and experience the darkness for a while. So one by one, the flashlights clicked off. And once the last one turned off, we were in complete darkness. Never before had I experienced being somewhere so dark. My eyes were wide open. I could not see anything, not even my hand as I would put it in front of my face. I couldn't see nothing. Nobody moved. We were all afraid to move. Several of us were, you know, quite instinctively reached out our hand and grabbed onto the person next to us, you know, just to give us some comfort and to keep us from getting dizzy, which happens when you're in darkness. And we kept the lights off for what seemed like a long time, but was probably only a few minutes. And then my friend clicked on his flashlight, and it just lit up everything. With just his little flashlight on, we could immediately see everyone's faces and where we were. And that disorientation that we had was gone. And then my friend pulled out his pocket New Testament and opened up to our passage here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, and read for us. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We then all turned on our flashlights and we very carefully made our way back out of that dark cave with those words on our minds. You see, there is a stark contrast between light and darkness. It became very vivid for us when we were in that cave with our flashlights off, unable to see anything, and then the great difference that it made once my friend turned on his flashlight for us. And there is to be a similar difference, similar contrast in the life of a Christian in contrast to the unbelieving world that we all live in. The life of a believer is to be as strikingly different from that of an unbeliever as light is to darkness. In order to display the great transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we see here revealed in this passage this morning. And so our main theme here from verses 8 through 14 of Ephesians 5 is that in contrast to a world that loves darkness, the Christian's life is to shine like the righteous life of Christ. In contrast to a world that loves darkness, the Christian's life is to shine like the righteous life of Christ. Our world loves the darkness. Our world celebrates it, as so many in our current society are doing this month, you know, calling it Pride Month, celebrating and honoring the deeds of darkness and those who live a lifestyle that God's Word says is an abomination and will bring about the wrath of God. But the Christian's life is to be different. It is to be in stark contrast to those who love the darkness. And that's because of the transforming work of the gospel. For as we see in verse 8, "At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk or live as children of light." So first we're going to see verses 8 through 10, living as light, like the light. Living as light, like the light. The one who is light. So verse 8 through 10 again. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." So brothers and sisters, the first thing we are to be reminded of here is that at one time you were darkness. That is, we were not just walking in the darkness. We were not just doing the unfruitful works of darkness. It says you were darkness. It's just what we saw before in Ephesians chapter 2 when Paul wanted to emphasize the transforming work of God's grace. So look back at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 there. There it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So those are all just descriptions, more descriptions here, of what it means to be darkness. This is darkness. It's describing darkness for us and doing the unfruitful works of darkness. And those are all descriptions of who you were, who we were, and the kind of things we were doing before our lives were transformed by God's grace. If you have a testimony of coming under conviction of your sin and realizing that you are lost and in desperate need of God's mercy to save you and forgive you, and you turned to Christ in faith as your only hope for salvation from your sins, then you were transformed. You were born again. You experienced the wonderful but here in verse 8. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So let's not just breeze over this sentence without taking a moment to rejoice over what God has done in your life, in my life, and maybe in the life of your son or your daughter. This is a glorious gospel reality that ought to result in heaps and heaps of thanksgiving pouring out of us. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. At one time you were under God's just condemnation for your sin. You were heading for hell. You were apart from Christ. You were blind in the darkness. But now you see by the light of Christ. You once were lost, but now you are found because Christ came for you. Last Sunday, we had five young people stand up here and tell us that at one time they were darkness, but now they are light in the Lord. Next week, we'll have two more young ladies stand up here and give similar testimonies. God is so gracious to us. He is worthy of our praise and our worship and a lifetime of devoted service to Him. Let's also notice then that we have absolutely no reason to be smug as Christians towards those who are still in the darkness. We cannot look down on and turn our noses up on anyone who is in the midst of sexual sin, on anyone who is living a life of immorality and godlessness. Because at one time, you were darkness. At one time, you were there. And if not for God's grace, you would still be where you were and even worse off than you ever were before. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, made us alive together with Christ. And now you are light in the Lord. That is the gospel. That is the overall message of Ephesians. That is what we must have on our hearts, in our minds, and shaping and forming the way that we live. But then we are given a command here. This is the imperative that follows the indicative. The indicative is that you are now light in the Lord. That is, God has, by His grace, through your faith in Christ Jesus, rescued you from the darkness and made you light in Christ. Therefore now live. Here's the command. Therefore now live as children of light. You're not required to keep a bunch of laws or go through a religious ceremony in order to become children of light. No, you already are by grace, so now live out what you have become. Be the person God, by His grace, made you in Christ. That is, be who you are. Walk as children of the light. Now, Paul is not coming up with this light and darkness language on his own. It's really all throughout the Scriptures. He's looking back at how God has revealed His plan of redemption in the Scriptures, particularly by the prophets. And in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5, the prophet there gives this sweet invitation to the people of God. This is Isaiah 2, verse 5. It says, "O house of Jacob," that is, "O Israel, O my people, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And then Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. In the context of these passages, the light is the Messiah that was to come. He is the light. We are to walk in His light, the light of the Lord. We have the light of the Messiah, of Jesus, shining down on us, chasing away the darkness. The Apostle John then opens up his gospel describing Jesus in this way. He says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then later in verse 9 he says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And then John later quotes Jesus as saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so all that is background to what we now see here in Ephesians 5. The Apostle Paul is picking up on that theme of light and darkness. And he's saying to the Christians here in Ephesus, you are in Christ. He's established that prior here to chapter 5. You are in Christ by faith, therefore you are light. You are light. Now follow the Lord Jesus, the light. Do not walk in darkness, walk in the light. As do not follow the ways of the world, follow Christ. For that is who you are. You are light. So if you are in Christ, if you are light, then your life will display the evidence of that by your works, by what you do, by how you live. And that's what verse 9 is getting at here. The fruit of light, that is what your faith in Christ will produce, the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. That is, your works will show that you are generous with your love, like Christ is. You are pursuing righteousness by your humble obedience to God's word, like Christ did. And you rejoice in the truth of the gospel. And so you tell the truth. And you are known as someone who can be trusted to tell the truth. And then verse 10 provides us with, I think, a wonderfully helpful verse. This is a wonderfully helpful verse. One that you should be considering and meditating on and thinking about. It is another description of a Christian. This is a description of someone who is walking in the light of Christ. Christians want to please the Lord, and so they try to discern or they try to learn what is pleasing to Him. That's what it says. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. There's one big reason why Christians read their Bibles. It's why we encourage you so much to read and study your Bibles, so that you will learn what pleases the Lord. For the Bible is where you learn that. Or you learn from others who are either teaching you the Bible or who know the Bible, and so they are providing a faithful example for you of what the Bible teaches. We ought to make sure that our main concern in how we live and what we do is, am I pleasing the Lord? Rather than trying to live to please others or to please ourselves by indulging our own sinful desires, we ought to seek to please the Lord in all that we do. So the number one question we ought to ask ourselves about whatever it is that we want to do is, will this please the Lord? Will this be pleasing to Him? And we'll only know the answer to that if we know our Bibles. if we know what his word says. As the NIV puts it, find out what pleases the Lord. Find that out. Look in Scripture. See what it says there about what pleases God. And for what we have seen in Ephesians 5, it will please the Lord if you seek to love one another as God has loved you. If you look to him and depend upon him for everything that you need. And if you obey his commands and turn away from the deeds of darkness, as we see next in verses 11 and 12. So verses 11 and 12, next, keep yourself away from the deceptive pole of the darkness. Keep yourself away from the deceptive pole of the darkness. Verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. If we are going to live our lives as children of light, then we must not be taking part in the works of darkness. We just can't be light if we are constantly letting Satan, you know, poof out our lights. We need to let them shine. We will never be known as people who are light if others find us doing what we all know are deeds of darkness. Like what we were warned about in verses 3 through 7 that we looked at the last time we were in this passage. Sexual immorality, that is fornication, all sexual relationships that are outside of marriage, that's sexual immorality, all impurity, covetousness, filthiness of speech, foolish talk, crude joking, works of darkness. We must take no part in those things. We must keep ourselves away from those things. Like a farmer, when he is harvesting corn, will give himself a very wide girth away from the mud hole in the field so that he won't get his combine or his grain cart stuck in the mud and bring his harvest progress to a frustrating halt. So we must keep far away from the unfruitful works of darkness. So just getting practical here then, this means that if you know that you are having a real difficulty with keeping yourself from certain sins or sinful behaviors, that you will get serious about it. Maybe you need to delete some apps on your phone. Maybe you need to have your wife or husband or a parent set up a password or PIN number so that you can't access certain apps or certain things on your phone. So when you want to access those or need to, that they have to do it for you. Maybe you need to cancel your subscription to Netflix or Amazon Prime. Parents, maybe you need to monitor your kids' activity on their phones to keep them away from getting caught up in the works of darkness. Or maybe you need to stop meeting up with those friends who only like to fill your conversations with gossip, complaining, and filthy language. Or maybe you need to stop flirting with that coworker, that married coworker who seems to enjoy flirting with you. We need to remember what it says in verses 6 and 7. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. That's what verse 11 here is telling us. Not only to keep yourself away from the works of darkness, but to expose them. That is, expose them for what they really are. Tell the truth about them. They're wicked. They are deadly. They will lead to destruction and death. God hates them and will pour out his wrath on those who indulge in them without repentance. That's exposing them, just telling the truth about what they are. When I was in college, I served as an RA, and there was one particular student on my wing in my dorm that impressed me with his desire for spiritual growth. It was obvious compared to the other guys on the wing. He is serious about it. He wants to grow. He wants to know the Lord better. And as I got to know him, I learned that the Lord had saved him out of darkness while he was a senior in high school. He was a growing Christian who was taking God's word seriously. But before he was a believer, he confessed that he was being very sexually immoral. And as I got to know him and see him around campus, it was obvious to me that he was getting the attention of a number of female students. They were giving him a lot of attention. They were following him around. They were trying to talk to him, trying to make friends with him. And his room was just a few doors down from mine. And whenever we had open dorm hours, a group of these female students would often stop by his dorm room to talk with him. But then one night, that group of girls knocked on my door instead, which was a very big surprise to me. But they only wanted to ask me if I knew where he was. They didn't want to talk to me, just wanted to know if I had information for them about where this guy was. He wasn't in his room like they were hoping he was. I told him I didn't know where he was, and so they left, disappointed. This happened just a couple more times until I noticed that these girls just stopped coming around. So one day when we were having a Bible study together, I asked him about that. And he said that on those nights, he would intentionally get out of the dorm and go to the library and study in a private study area all by himself. He was trying to avoid those situations. He said because of the sin of his past, he had decided that he just could not get involved in a dating relationship for at least the next 2 years. He knew he needed to grow in a spiritual maturity before he could trust himself in a relationship with a girl. And I watched him for the next 2 years and continued to meet with him and read the Bible together. And he kept that vow. Instead of spending time chasing girls and dating, he met with guys for Bible study. He was discipled by his pastor. And he grew in his faith and his understanding of the word and eventually went on to serve in the mission field in Asia along with his wife, whom he met when he was a senior. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light and take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Now we get to verses 13 and 14. Reveal the deeds of darkness for what they are. That is, expose them. Reveal the deeds of darkness for what they are. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So in verse 14, biblical scholars are not sure just what Paul is quoting here, but he is quoting something, for he says, therefore it says, so he's quoting something else. And then the quote is something lyrical or poetic. It's not a direct quote from any place in the Hebrew Scriptures, nor from the Septuagint, that is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Some scholars, though, believe Paul is combining a few different verses together here in this quote, but then they really struggle to determine just what those verses are that he's combining. But other scholars believe that Paul must be quoting this line from a very early Christian hymn. And that this line then from this Christian hymn was based off of Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, where the Lord says to all those who have faith in him, he says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen on you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. As I shared from the Gospel of John earlier, our light has come. The incarnate Son of God, the light of the world, has come. And now all who have come to know him as Savior and Lord have his light shining on them and in them and through them. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, and by the grace of God, Christ's light fell upon us, and his light gave life to us. And now we are light in the Lord, and we are to bring his light into this world, into our relationships, and by our very presence, and by the righteous life that we live within this dark world, where we are found to be producing fruit that is good, true, and beautiful. The deeds of darkness are being exposed for what they are. But how are they exposed? What does it mean to expose them? Well, it doesn't mean that we are to get into all the, you know, the gory, explicit details of the works of darkness. For it says there in verse 12 pretty clearly, it is shameful even to speak of the things that are done or that they do in secret. So we are rather to expose, as in pulling the curtain back, like Toto did in The Wizard of Oz. He pulled the curtain down to reveal to Dorothy and her friends who the wizard really was, who was behind all of the scary smoke and loud and intimidating commands that he was giving to them. He was exposed for who he really was. So we are to expose the deeds of darkness for what they really are and who is really behind them. And who's really behind them is not a friend to humanity. It's not a friend to those whom you love that are in the darkness. No, the one who's behind them is humanity's worst enemy, that is Satan, our adversary, who wants to destroy humanity, wants to destroy image bearers of God. That's who's behind it. So reveal that. Expose that. And verse 13 says, we expose them by the light. That is, by the light of Christ in his word. We speak his word on those things. Like, for example, we would share a story like David and Bathsheba. That's in his word in 2 Samuel, where David's sin of sexual immorality and adultery led to the death of Bathsheba's husband, led to the death of their baby. And then as you keep reading in 2 Samuel, you're shown there the disaster of the sword never departing from David's house, as more sons are killed, and his family ends up full of heartbreak and sorrow. That story, what that story does is it exposes for us the reality of what sexual immorality and covetousness really does. Our culture glorifies it. Our entertainment empire promotes it and makes billions off of making it look so glamorous and appealing. But in reality, it is deadly. So we expose it by telling the truth from God's word about it. It leads to destruction. It leads to sorrow. It leads to the breaking up of families. But the goal is not to condemn those who are walking in darkness, nor is it to embarrass them. It is to expose them to the truth of God's word so the Holy Spirit may bring conviction of their sin upon them and they would realize their desperate need for the forgiveness and righteousness that only Christ can provide for them. The goal is the same thing to happen to them as happened to you, as happened to me, that they would awake and arise from the dead and have Christ shine on them, and that he would give them light. So, brothers and sisters, if you would be light, if you would be light in this dark world, then you must bask in the light of Christ. I remember when I was a child in the early 80s, when I was young like that, I loved to get the glow-in-the-dark toys. And I remember when I first got one, I ran down the basement, turned off all the lights, had no, you know, outside lights in the first room of our basement, and got my toy out. It didn't glow. It didn't glow. I was very disappointed. And I brought it upstairs. I ran to my sister and I told my sister, "It doesn't work. It doesn't work." And she said, "Well, you first have to hold it under the light for a while, you goof, and then it'll glow in the dark. Hold it under the light for a while, and then take it down there, and it'll work. And she was right. Because that's just what it did. And so it is with us, brothers and sisters. If we are going to shine as lights in this dark world, we will need to spend time basking in the glow of the light of the world, of the light of Jesus Christ, in his word. And the more Christ shines on us, the more we will be able to shine for others.